It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to a new RSL Show podcast. We've got a full house today. Josh, you look like, what's the name of the baby, the twin baby? On the show, Full
the
House?
Girl?
Yeah. Michelle?
Ashley. Oh, yeah, Michelle. One of the Olsen sisters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michelle Tanner?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks. I'm glad I look like a 4-year-old girl.
Yeah, look at Alex's face. He doesn't know what we're talking about.
I have no idea.
You don't know the show Full House?
I mean, I remember it vaguely, but I don't think I ever, like, watched it.
That's okay.
He probably doesn't remember, like, the TGIF nights.
No, neither does Isaac.
I don't.
They had streaming and things.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids these days.
Bro, TGIF was lit, dude. Oh, my God.
Like, Nick at Night, bro?
Bro.
Bro.
I remember Nick at Night.
Oh, don't pretend. All right. TGIF was so sick, dude. They'd be like, they'd do, you know, they'd have, what was on the show? Like, Boy Meets World.
Yeah, all just
what was
all
the lineup? Sabrina?
Yep. There's a few. I can't remember all of them, but, because they rotated, like, when shows got canceled and whatnot. But every Friday, you're like, got a sick lineup to watch tonight, boys.
Yeah, TGIF.
And then, like, Saturday on, like, Fox, you'd have, like, Cops and America's Most Wanted and whatever. And when you're a kid, you're like, this is great.
Yeah, that's dope.
Now it's horrible, but.
Yeah. But we took Alex to, not his first RSL match, but we took him to his first media presser. Congrats.
Thank you.
He's doing a lot.
He's growing up.
Yeah.
Right before our eyes.
Yeah, so we're gonna talk about everyone's quick accomplishments. So we took Alex to the presser afterwards, and you got a chance to speak to Pablo.
I did.
And you got a chance to speak to Miram. You did really well with your questioning with Pablo, but with Miram...
I knew you were going to bring this up.
If you guys didn't notice, we didn't publish your questions with Miram because... You got a little nervous there, huh?
You could have, like, edited it out and then, like, posted it. Because, I mean, the second question was pretty fair. I feel like the second question was a really good question.
Yeah, but the second question wasn't too great without the first question. You could figure out what the first question actually was. Insert question here.
Yeah. The point is you did a good job, but it was we got to remember, Josh and I were talking about this. You're a young kid. You know, this is kind of your first time. But if we had to do an impersonation of your question to Miram, it was, so how do you, okay, so, okay, like,
no, this is not that bad.
Okay, so, do you think with the,
your question is probably why we didn't get another player.
No, in all seriousness, though. Great job.
Thank you.
Nice job.
Thank you.
I would love for you to wear a suit to a media presser.
Dude, don't tempt me. I'll do it.
Mitch did it.
I'll do it next game. I'll do it next game.
You wear a full suit?
Not a full suit, but like I'll wear like a dress shirt and a tie.
Well, nah. You don't look like a missionary.
I'll go full missionary. Like.
All right.
It's too hot right now. Save that for the fall.
Yeah, you'll have to wait. All right, let's talk about Isaac's performance. Oh, dude. Isaac left the match with great footage. How did you feel when you got that shot of Miram scoring with his header?
So right before the free kick, they fake you out. So I moved my camera super quick and you can't really notice it in the video, but I was like, oh, they got me. But I ended up getting the shot and it was epic. I just couldn't celebrate until I was like done. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I would say that's the hardest part of shooting sports, especially with the team that you care about. You kind of like want to throw the camera up and celebrate, but you got to keep it steady. So Isaac got a great shot. The KSL sports director, Nate Dowdle, saw your footage. And he actually told me today, he said, hey, dude, your brother did a good job. So look at you, little gold star.
I'm going to get paid. That's what it sounds like.
Let's go. Oh, my God.
Let's go.
I can quit my jobs. My jobs.
Yeah, he's got three jobs. So Isaac got the great goal by Miram. And then we posted that as an IG reel. It's on the RSL show on Instagram. Up to 20K plays. Pretty good for a reel. Not bad. Yeah. Every reel that you've like made or that has your shot has broken like 15K.
Which, somehow. I don't know. I thought that was pretty normal. If that's not normal, then...
Give me to 50 and I'll be impressed.
50K?
The one to beat is mine. I had one go... I think it was 86K.
Was it the red card?
No, it was... No, that was a... No,
that
no, no.
That wasn't a reel.
That was just a video. That video went viral. But the 86K is actually Carlos Salcedo running in slow motion.
Weird.
Yeah, it's really, really weird.
The views, huh?
Well, you know, let's not give all the secrets away of what's effective on posting.
Yeah.
But you would be surprised on what videos, what type of content explodes. Like something that you would think is awesome and you're excited to post, dead. Something you're like, whatever, sharing it, boom, just goes off the rails. So anyways, really, really good day, really good performance for the RSL show. I'm talking like it's a post-presser for us, but...
yeah, what did you accomplish?
I don't know, man. I went and shot, got a shot, and, you know. Dude, we're doing a lot of teaching. Do you feel like we're teaching you stuff, guys?
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, yeah, absolutely.
Learning? Yeah?
100%.
A little bit.
Cool.
My accomplishment is not getting kicked out of the press box. After
yeah, I was going to say, Josh, thank you for the ride to my car.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, really, really good stuff.
I was losing my mind.
Yeah. Well, again, guys, listen to the RSL show. My brain fart. Thanks for tuning in to the RSL show is what I meant to say. Let's talk about the 2-2 result versus the Colorado Rapids. The younger brother, as Real Salt Lake social media likes to refer to them as. Not so younger brother this time. What? Let's talk about two things. And you mentioned this prior.
Mm-hmm.
What was the good in this match? And then what was the bad in this match? And we'll start with Josh.
Well, the bad is we struggled against another basement dweller, right? The last couple games have been against teams that are not high up there in the rankings, and we're absolutely struggling. So that's bad take number one. We allowed Colorado to get all over us, right, which was very frustrating. But I think the big thing that really hurt us is, as Dunny would say, the Dunsethery was out and about, right? Like a lot of cheap fouls, a lot of afters, and I think it really got to us mentally. I think we showed a big weakness on the mental side, because, you know, fouls get committed. You'd see our players going to retaliate. You'd see our players kind of pulling away from the play because, you know, they've gotten in their head. You saw Zach McMath pick up a yellow, which I do appreciate. I'm glad he shoved him into the ground. But, you know what I mean? Like, things like that that are very abnormal and uncharacteristic for some of these players, you could see it was really getting to them. And I think that's where we lost this game, right? We let Colorado get into our heads, and then we really backed off, and then, you know, the substitution pattern was woof, right? Who knows if Anderson Julio is ever going to be healthy or stay healthy, so that's a huge question mark. Cordova just, you know, I'm definitely off the Cordova train now. Like, you could terminate that loan, and I'm probably okay with it, especially if we bring someone else in. So there's a lot of negative for me, which I haven't been salty for a while, like the last 2 weeks, but it's coming back, guys. The salt is coming back. There's not a lot of great to talk about. The good, Sava is incredible. Lofelsund, again, you saw as soon as he came off from this game, you know, our quality dropped drastically. I do agree that the referee missed an opportunity for a red card on Jasper, though. That was a very bad tackle. Should have been a red, which could have changed the course of the game, but I'm not here to blame the referees because we had every opportunity to put that game away. But yeah, Miram goal, Sava, Jasper, Diego Luna looked dangerous for his limited minutes. I wish we would have seen him a lot longer. But yeah, like, there's just not a lot to be pumped about at the moment and concerned, quite honestly, about some games coming up.
Yeah.
Sorry, I rambled there for a minute.
No, man, you're good. I mean, I think, yeah, show over. good night. You know, you prefaced a question for Pablo. You know, just is this kind of like a, I'm trying to remember your exact question, but it was like, you know, is this due to our form, or is it just how soccer rolls out? And if you want to share his response, man, what kind of vibes were you getting from Pablo when you talked to him in the media presser?
He was obviously upset, and I mean with reason. Yes, there was definitely a lot of things to look at as far as the reffing perspective of it, but as Josh said, as a player, you cannot blame the ref. Even as a coach, you cannot blame the ref. But just kind of seeing and just like hearing him talk, like he's obviously very, very upset about the result, visibly upset with the result, probably angry at the officiating a bit, but he gave a coach's answer. He talked about how he says that the team's been playing well. Just the results haven't been there.
Yeah. And, you know, I think another thing to kind of point out from that is like you said, you know, I think with Pablo, he's always just like so philosophical. Mm-hmm. And he's just going to kind of give you that kind of like a mediocre made-for-TV answer. But Miram came in later and he just kind of threw it out there like, you know, it's not good soccer, yeah, right?
Feels like a loss.
Yeah, and he commented that his wife didn't prep his meal the right way or something like that.
It's a little too late.
Yeah.
He wasn't quite ready.
He ate late.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's hard because, you know, and we've seen it. The team is, like, so high on, you know, being undefeated at home, the 9 straight sellout crowds, bringing the momentum. So when you're expected to beat out a team like Colorado and it doesn't happen, it's written like all over everyone's faces. I ran into Elliot Fall after the match, and it's just like by default you just know to not, you know, kind of steer clear. Yeah,
not the time to talk.
Yeah. It's not the time to talk, not to be buddy buddy, but it is, I think at this point it's warranted to kind of call out the team. And like you said, where's Cordova, right? Where's Cordova in the attack? Where's the finishing? Where's the finishers? Savarino shows up. He's doing his job, right? Miram, for as much as you know, people want to be critical of him,
did his job.
He did his job. Yep. He's scoring goals. He's active in plays, right? You know, could Loftelson maybe contribute to that? Sure, but he's finding his form.
Right, and he's also not in a position like, would I like our central midfielders to score more? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like our forwards to score more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The guys that are supposed to score, right? Jasper had a couple good rips this match, right? So at least he's trying, but that's not his main job.
Right. And then we could go a little bit further to, you know, the defenders contributing goals, right? But it's like this is exactly where you kind of land, where you're short from the forwards performing and getting goals. And was it at the very end? I think it was like 2 minutes left in stoppage.
Oh, Scott Caldwell's shot.
Scott Caldwell.
Left foot.
How are we feeling about that?
I wish we would have dropped someone else.
From the higher angle that we were at, it looked like there was like some sauce behind that.
Right.
And it just went wide.
Just wide. I mean, just wide.
In Isaac's perspective, because he was behind goal and he got that shot, It looked weak.
Looked like a little loaf of a ball coming in.
Yes, I mean it looked, it had no pace on the shot.
Yeah,
and man, it's just tough to come down to a result that way where it's, you know, we've seen it so many times at the Riot. Hey, last 3-4 minutes of stoppage,
nick a goal, right?
Yeah,
yeah. But again, like we didn't set ourselves up positionally or personnel wise with the substitutions, right? For that last minute comeback, which shouldn't even been a comeback win.
Yeah, he took out Sava,
right?
Who's been the catalyst of the attack since the international break. You take out Sava and they come back and they draw that game, you don't really have much attack and much potential going forward.
And I think even bigger than that is you take out Ruiz and Loftelsund and put in Beisler and Caldwell, who are sitting midfielders, right?
Yep.
Practically center backs. You're not going to get a lot going forward out of that.
No. I do want to comment, though, the way that Colorado came in and got that goal in the 89th. Lalas Aboubakar.
Aboubakar, yeah.
Aboubakar, floater of a goal, dude. And it's just, it's unlucky for Real Salt Lake, but it's just, I mean, it's Rocky Mountain Cup kind of, you know, showing its
the
legs.
Dramatics, right?
The thing that upsets me about that goal is that he practically scored the exact same goal in that first game a couple months ago. it was a free kick. We cleared it out. They recycled it. They got the ball first, and then on the second attempt, Lalas Aboubakar was completely unmarked. Defense fell asleep, didn't mark their player, and he scored.
Yeah,
Same exact goal.
Like a left foot lob, yeah? Is that what it was?
It was a header, wasn't it?
Off of, no,
I don't remember.
It was like a lob.
I was seeing red, so I don't really remember. I don't recall, honestly. I just know that our boy Marcelo was unfortunately the last defender on both of these goals, right?
Yeah.
Committed the foul for the penalty, and then, yeah.
I remember one of the very first interactions we had, Andy, was a Twitter space towards the beginning of the season, and I remember mentioning to you that not a lot of people talked about how important Marcelo Silva and Justin Glad were to this team. We've seen it now. That's all I see on Twitter now is how important Justin Glad and Marcelo Silva are to this team because of the last two performances mm-hmm. that we've seen. Colorado had so many opportunities to play in behind the defense, which is something you don't see with Justin Glad in.
Right.
With Justin Glad in.
And I'm going to stop you there because I don't think it's a Kapelhoff problem per se. I think it's the pairing, right?
Because
Marcelo and Kapelhoff are very similar. You don't have the more speed and then dynamicism, is that a word, of Justin Glad to like get back and recover, right, to stop those runs from getting behind. So like not having, you know, the like stout enforcer type center back with the speedy center back is really hurting us because right now it's just two stout guys.
Right.
And I've seen a lot of Kapelhoff hate, and I think that needs to stop because not a bad center back.
No, he's not a bad center back.
It's a circumstance thing, and the pairing is off. It's not a player.
Lack of chemistry.
Right.
Lack of chemistry because, I mean, this is what, his second start, third start of the season?
Third, I believe, yeah.
Yeah. Justin Glad is important to this team, and he's kind of seen because of that partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Colorado had too much space, especially in the first half, dude. The amount of chances that Colorado had in that first half.
We should have been down 3-0.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They just missed by inches. Like, we talk about our finishing, but also Colorado's finishing was inches away. Inches away from scoring.
At the end of the day, we're not Colorado, and that's really all that matters. But
no, I mean, this game was really, really close. You know, 15 shots for Colorado versus 14 RSL. 4 shots on target from Colorado, 2 shots on target from us. You know, possession barely won it, 51% to 49%. And passes are pretty even, 326 versus 322. I mean, just everything, it's sad, man, because we're much higher on the table than we are, you know, than to Colorado. But it's like we're kind of stooping down to their level of play.
I mean, that's what we talk about weekly, right? Like, I don't love playing the lower ranked teams because we play to their level. Like Atlanta on Wednesday, you can probably chalk that up to a loss because they're a lower team and it's away. Like, it don't have high hopes.
Yeah.
Although Atlanta is a very dysfunctional team right now, so maybe we can take advantage of that. But again, we better see some squad rotation, so that could hurt our chances, right? Like, there's just, we really need a signing or two. That's really where I'm going.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. At the moment, 2 international roster spots are open.
2 DP spots are open.
2 DP spots. First off, Everton Lease.
I'm sad, man.
I'm bummed about that, too.
His first year, incredible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Second year, good. Not great, but good. Pretty good, serviceable. But he's been a rough one lately, right? So it's time, and it's okay.
Did he have an injury for a while?
No.
He's had, like, off and on, like, small injuries, but nothing, like, big.
Yeah. Not this year, I don't think.
Yeah.
So it's bittersweet, right? But it's, like, I'm glad we're letting players go when it's time now instead of, like, holding on a little too long. And honestly, like, re-signing him, while at the time it was a right move because no one could have seen what Jasper's doing coming. So at the time it was a right move, right? Like, we were like, oh, my God, who's going to play in the midfield? But now that Jasper is completely in form, you know, Cuellar is hopefully coming in, like, totally expendable player, and we expended him. So it's sad, but,
yeah,
you know, it's one of those things. And then
Yoni,
sorry. He never really got a shot, man. I'm kind of sad about that, too, because I was super pumped when he came in. I thought he was going to do something special. But again, injuries, right? But yeah, if we can bring in a player now, we have two spots, two international spots, two DP spots. We can bring in, you know, Gustavo, hold down that midfield, and then, man, spend $10 million on someone that can score a goal or seven. I'm happy. I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, you know, I liked what you pointed out, though. You know, if it's truly a season of change for Real Salt Lake, we're sending these players out to different opportunities. We're kind of getting them off the roster, opening up those spaces.
Yeah.
And that's something that we didn't really see before.
No, and there's a couple more that, like, their time is absolutely up, in my opinion. And I'm hoping this, like, this offseason is where we sever ties and carry on.
Yeah. So it's, you know, you can kind of see that mental shift, mm-hmm. probably with the new ownership, probably with the resources now. Especially making trades or transfers with Blitzer's teams, Blitzer's organizations. I think Everton Luis is going to
over
the
to
team
Belgium.
That's linked with Blitzer. Yeah, Blitzer. So I think it's a promising move, and I think it's, you know, well calculated moves. I think it's, you know, it's just, you know, short term. We've seen just kind of checkers from RSL, but now I think it's like we're kind of seeing this long term. We're kind of making chess moves at this point. And I like that because it kind of shows the maturity of ownership and people in the front office making those kind of changes that need to happen. Although there's like an emotional response, right? Like we see Everton Luis leaving, we share a post, and immediately people are sad about it.
Right.
Where just in the past, it was like we kind of held on to our players no matter the circumstance. And I just
stayed way too long. And
exactly.
It hurt us in the long run.
Plata. Exactly.
Yep.
Who?
João Plata.
Oh, yeah. I wish him the best, man. He's probably still driving that. What was he driving? Like a red hot something? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
Yeah.
The Everton move, like, I mean, I agree with Josh, like it was time, and it's a perfect move because he wasn't getting any minutes. Obviously I think that the Jasper had a lot to do with that, the emergence of Jasper Lofelson. But it's an international player who's taken up so much salary,
mm-hmm.
and he wasn't in getting any minutes. So not only do we dump that salary, but we open up the international spot, which I think will be huge.
Yeah.
Huge for the summer.
And if you follow trends, right, you get Houston Dynamo gets Hector Herrera, LAFC gets Gareth Bale, Columbus Crew gets Cucho Hernandez. Let's see. Are there any other big names, big signings like that? Not really. Not as big as Gareth Bale, but I get excited for what's happening around the league and like the interest of international players who want to come to MLS. But I just don't see us ever signing somebody with that kind of name or star power.
You're probably not, but we can get close.
Yeah. And I like that because it's, you know, you're not going out there and like getting the most expensive lease. You're like, okay, I'm just going to get this little car that I could afford and hopefully it's going to be awesome over time. Right. So Isaac's laughing because my car sucks right now. All right, so we'll talk a little bit more about the moves that Real Salt Lake is doing, and we're going to talk about our social questions from via Twitter. One thing real quick, I met Hangry Hippo. You probably don't know who that is. Have you seen it? Josh, you know who that is.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I have no service in the stadium, so I missed his message too late to go down and see him. But
yeah,
I'm glad he got down to his first game, and I wish it was a better game.
Yeah, I don't know the backstory on that guy, but I'll just tell you, that guy, a jerk. Not in person, but on Twitter, dude. Like, I love him, and it's a love-hate relationship because we talk shit to each other all the time. I'll post something, he'll be snarky with me. We've gotten into DMs before, so it's like a love-hate. Anyways, I saw him in person, and he's like, hey, what's up, man? I'm like, dude, you're an asshole. But we shrubbed it off, shook hands, and so Hangry Hippo, it was good to see you, dude. You're much nicer in person, and it was a great interaction. I'm so happy we met. All right. Okay, league news. So Gareth Bale, Not necessarily the unveiling, but LAFC, he walks onto the field versus El Tráfico before the match starts, and he's just getting all kinds of love and praise, and LAFC social media is going to town with that. I know we talked about it a little bit, but now that it's real, Josh, because you're kind of like the English soccer guy, right?
Sure.
Gareth Bale, a 1 to 10 signing. Between a 1 to 10.
Like for MLS?
For LAFC.
Oh, this is easily an 8.
Yeah.
And depending on how he performs, up to a 10, right? Listen, he's a good player. He's a known commodity and is not a DP, right? Like, that's just a win all around. Like, I should honestly give him a 10 just for not having him on a DP contract, which I'm sure some rules were broken. But I really do think this guy can tear up the league, and it just makes a already scary LAFC team just that much scarier, which is unfortunate for us. But,
yep.
You know, it's cool to see him come to MLS, you know, straight from Real Madrid, even though he wasn't really playing. But whatever. Doesn't matter. Right. Not a retirement league anymore. Minus the Cellini thing is weird to me, but that's kind of a retirement move.
He's still good. He still got it.
But all the other players coming in around the league, like, makes me feel better about that kind of thing. But, yeah, it's a good move for LAFC. I would not be mad about him coming to RSL. I'll put it that way.
Very cool. Let's got thoughts and opinions on more league news. So I'll get your opinion on this one, Alex. Josef Martínez calling out his teammates. If you guys haven't seen the Twitter video, essentially just saying that a lot of players on his roster, on his team, are not there for the club, per se.
Yeah, they're there for themselves.
They're there for themselves. They're not team players. If you're not going to be a team player, there's no space for you here at Atlanta. I personally love it. How do you feel about a team of a player of that caliber in the league calling out his teammates?
Just looking at it from kind of their on-field performance and like what Atlanta has done this year, it just seemed like it was just bad defending, bad midfield control. But now with the words of Josef Martínez coming out and saying that, I think something else is going on there. Something is going on inside the locker room. Something's going on in that front office, and it could blow up here very soon. Because when your star player, your DP player, the guy who's been carrying that Atlanta jersey since this club basically was founded,
mm-hmm.
comes out and blasts your front office, blasts his teammates, and puts Atlanta United on blast like that, something is going on within that organization. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's about to blow.
Drama. Is it giving you like Deloy Hansen vibes?
No, it's giving me just disgruntled player that really wants to win vibes, right? He's going to have a hard time getting some of his teammates back on his side. It's going to be kind of rough for him, but it's something that
needs to be said, man.
It needs to be said, but like, it's something you would never get a non-star player saying, right? Because it's something that'll get you cut.
Yeah.
But you're Josef Martínez, so like, that's obviously not going to happen yet.
Right.
But it could, right? So this could be his way of like, you know, signaling like, hey, Atlanta, right? Like, we need to do better or I'm out of here.
Exactly. And exactly what I'm alluding to. It's going to go one way or the other. Either the front office is going to have to like start looking at the team and start being like, which players is he referring to? What can we do to improve? Or it's going to be Josef Martínez at the end of the season saying, hey, get me out of here.
Yeah, transfer me. And I'm imagining, you know, because Boca Negra is their GM.
Mm-hmm.
I'm imagining they've already had a sit down, right? Like, you would hope. I feel like that's not something you just kind of like go, oh, it's funny, right? You feel like you have to have a meeting and be like, all right, we need to address this, whatever's going on. So,
yeah, pretty bad stuff. I say power forward, it sounds like basketball, but a really good forward, NYCFC's Tati Castellanos, an excellent soccer player. Now there's rumors of him, I believe it was linked with, was it Leeds and... Did I see Newcastle? Basically a European team or just European interest. He's kind of made it clear that, you know, he's ready for new opportunities, just trying to see where he wants to go. And the direct quote, actually, is this. I'm enjoying myself and my mentality is different from when I first joined the league. I think right now there's an opportunity, and it would be great to keep growing in Europe and keep doing there what I've been doing here. So, yeah, I mean, 23 years old, I got the golden boot. I think that was the 2021 season, I want to say. A very successful career, but it's pretty cool to see someone, you know, from the MLS that's been with the MLS for a while now, kind of getting that opportunity. So that's all on that front. Let's talk a little bit more about Real Salt Lake and the deals here that are maybe on the horizon. So you guys have been talking about Cuellar pretty significantly. We've seen it's just how long has this deal been in talks for, do you think?
January? Or rumors?
Yeah. So Travis Anderson asked the RSL show, is the Cuellar deal still alive, or do we just love to beat a dead horse like Piatek or Herman Cano?
Forgot about that one.
Me too, honestly.
I believe it is still alive, right? I believe there's still smoke, which means there's some fire. I think Everton moving along is a big signal, right? So my hopes are high, but again, being an RSL fan, right, like we are always prepared to be let down. So, yeah, I think it'll happen, but
yeah,
as always, time will tell.
You just got to think about who else is talking to him, what other deals are happening.
And who else we might be talking to, right? Like, there might be a rumor that they've actually been able to keep quiet, and we don't know about it yet.
Yeah, it's like
there's probably lots.
Major League Soccer Tinder, you know?
I mean, right after Cuellar, once the Cuellar news started dying down, there was the word that Carlos Grezzo, the former FC Dallas player who's currently at Augsburg, was in talks with Real Salt Lake. That also died down super quick. So, I mean, if RSL's on the market for a six, I could still see it being Cuellar or Grezzo.
We need anyone, so let's just do it.
Cool. Let's see. Colton asks, how do you feel about Cordova? Has he been a waste of time? Do you think he can be productive, or does he just continue to walk around the field?
That's a tough one, man. Like, I see what's making him a potentially good player. I don't want to say good player. A potentially good player, right? He has, like, the size. He has the speed. But man, he's just struggling. And I don't know, because he's not... remember, guys, he's a right wing. He's not a center forward. I think that's where a lot of the issue is.
Just playing out of position?
Yeah, I mean, he should be playing where Sava's playing. Right? Yeah. He's not a hold-up guy. Hmm. He's doing an okay job holding the ball up. But, like, he's not very aggressive when he goes into challenges in the air. You can tell he just kind of looks uncomfortable in that central role. And I think that's the biggest issue. You know, we're playing him out of position, and he's not comfortable. I think if he would have scored that header, that would have been his first, like, clean goal, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe a second. I can think of another one that was decent, but I don't know. I don't foresee us, like, extending his loan or purchasing him from Augsburg, like, with his form. I really don't. And I would, if they do, like, I would really hope it's, like, a hell of a deal.
Yeah. Yeah, just not same. I'm just not. You've had enough games. You've had enough training. Now it's like, pull a result.
And especially in the Colorado match, he just looked disinterested. Like, honestly, I don't know if it was the heat, the smoke, the rivalry. If he's just tired, if he's homesick, but didn't look like he wanted to be out there. So,
yeah.
Okay,
Yeno Coniello probably has the worst question on Twitter. Says resign Sabo on low money. I'm talking around $85,000 a year. We don't need someone fast or nimble. We just need someone to be able to finish when it's late in the game, and when Glad and Silva have both already scored.
Bruh. Sabo's still playing, dude.
He is still playing.
Yes.
You think that's good?
I mean, no, I would be like, come on, but also like, sure.
Yeah.
Who's gonna score goals right now? We have no one scoring goals.
It's like until Demir's
healthy, there's no one there to win a header, right?
It's like when they brought back Mofsisian.
Or Robbie Finley, like.
Well, yeah, what happened when they brought back Mofsisian?
Man, that was a that was a ride.
Yeah.
Remember when he was like shushing everybody?
Yeah, I would have more confidence though in Sabo.
Sure. No, I absolutely love Sabo. Because
he's just kind of like a sitter guy. Like he's like a Chicharito, like the ball's like a magnet to his foot. Maybe not Chicharito of present, but in the past where it's like, yeah, Yeno Coniello, all right, I'll give you that finisher. But I think with the way that the league is now is like you need somebody that can contribute at least at some point defensively, get back.
Well, and let's not forget, like, for the entirety of Sabo's stay here at RSL, a lot of people did not like him, right? They thought he was lazy. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't think they understood the hold-up position at the time, but yeah, it's just funny.
Yeah. So I guess it would be reminiscent. I mean, you know, Cordova would almost be like Sabo if he just got some goals. Kathy Barney asks, why does RSL always get refs no one has heard of or refs doing their first game?
There's a lot of refs doing their first games. I don't think this guy particularly, it was his first game, but I honestly don't even want to get into the refs. Like, they missed the red card, sure. But outside of that, like, there was not a refereeing game. Like, we didn't lose the game because of him. Didn't have the best performance, but
I think he did influence a lot.
He did. Like, he should have controlled the match a lot better, but he did not lose us that game.
No, absolutely not.
And it was a penalty, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's close. Yeah. But in real time, no, absolutely not. But, like, in the replays, like, it didn't even look like Marcelo got close to the ball. So I get it, but irritating. But I really don't want to get into the ref thing. Like, I don't know if there's a rhyme or reason why we get new refs. Probably because we're not LAFC, NYFC, whatever. Right? But I think anytime you have a rivalry week, you have to put an experienced referee in there. That's my one thing, right?
Yeah, but, you know, if, I guess from, like, a league perspective, too, and, you know, I don't know anything
about... Who's available, right? Like, do you have a referee even available to...
Exactly. You kind of, like you said, you have to prioritize the games that are... Well, all of them are televised, obviously, right. but
like
the ones that are
going to
drive, like, the most traffic, right? So... The top games, obviously, LAFC, LA Galaxy.
Right, your most experienced referee are going to be there.
Right, Timber, Seattle. What was it like? What are a couple of... Dude, who did DT get spanked by? 7-0. Was it
Philadelphia.
Bro, 7-0. My goodness. Awful. Wayne Rooney, not even there yet, but he looks awful, too, for his age. My goodness. All right, so let's talk. Let's kind of pivot here, real quickly. This might be the last topic. I took to Twitter, and I said, "Who is Real Salt Lake's true rival?" Because you know MLS wants you to think it's the Rapids,
right?
So let's take a vote. And I left an important team off the ballot. I know, my bad. So who is? We'll go across the room. Who is Real Salt Lake's rival for you, Alex?
Sporting Kansas City.
Just because of the history there?
The history, the playoff games, the Benny Fellhaber.
2013.
Anything 2013. Like, it has to be Sporting Kansas City.
The preseason
brawls. The fans, yeah, the fans still hate each other.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't know, though. I'm not going to lie. When I was there in 13, like, the fans bought me a lot of beers after we lost to, like, ease my pain. So there's some good fans there, I hate them. So
I mean, they'll only do that when they win a trophy over us.
Sure. I mean, if we were running around there celebrating, I'm sure we would have been.
Yeah, Isaac.
SKC for me as well, but also Portland. I can't stand Portland.
Yeah.
And then I think Seattle is like coming up as a rival for me as well.
Seattle's very high on my list.
Yeah, I think it goes Sporting Kansas City, Portland, and then Seattle.
You would put Portland over Sounders?
I would, but yeah, I don't like Portland, dude.
But why?
Portland likes to beat us.
They
beat us, dude.
Yeah.
Seattle, we can at least get results against. Portland just always beats us. It's frustrating as hell.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Portland, Isaac?
Just passing by to go to Seattle, but it just looked like Gotham, the part I went to.
I do enjoy the city and that stadium, so it's hard for me to hate Portland.
I love Portland, man. I don't know why.
I do, too.
They got a handful of problems out there, and my first impression of Portland was literally I stepped out of the Uber to go to Starbucks, and I almost, like, legitimately, when I took my left foot out, I almost stepped on a human shit. Not even kidding. You could tell.
Last time I was there, just barely, like, I had to step over a sleeping human to get into the bar.
Yeah. Other than that, beautiful city. Yeah, beautiful city. I love Portland. I hope to go back here soon.
Yeah, we need to go visit Bean and Mitch.
Yeah, we'll do that. But, yeah, I would put, for me, I'd put SKC up top. I'd put I don't know if I could put the Sounders yet, dude. I mean, I would still put the Rapids in second and then Sounders and then Portland. I guess I go by like history, geographically. Mm-hmm. Portland, I know they kick our ass, but I don't know if you talk to if you were to go talk to a Portland fan or whatever, I don't think they would even categorize Real Salt Lake as a rival.
Yeah.
No, and I mean, I do appreciate they do appreciate that we hate Seattle, so it's like
there's some common ground there.
I think for me it's just like a personal like thing. Like I can't stand that team.
Personal vendetta, huh?
Mm-hmm.
See, I like Portland. I think some of the history is cool. The whole log Joey Timber thing, kind of weird, but it's also really cool. It's a really cool spectacle. But I guess if I had a favor either. Okay, so if you had to support either Seattle or Portland.
Portland.
Isaac, you'd say Portland, right?
I'd say Seattle, dude.
Wow. You'd go Seattle?
I would, even though they take all...
Seattle annoys the shit out of me.
Even though we're...
We're Seattle's feeder team.
We're a feeder team for Seattle.
Yeah, that's so weird, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you have that point there, and I guess you could be upset about that, but whatever. Dude, if you talk to Trey about Seattle... I love you, Trey. I know you don't listen, but when you mention Seattle, he's like, ugh, Garth Lagerway, they're just doing such an incredible job over there.
But he is.
Yeah, he is.
You know, like...
CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah, but I'm like, bro, Trey, just go work there, bro, if you love him so much. No, I'm kidding. Don't. Stay with us forever. Okay, you? You already answered,
Colorado,
right?
Yeah, SKC, Colorado's Seattle for me.
Yeah.
Colorado is one of those rivalries that, like, if they beat us at home and, like, lift the cup, then I really hate them. But otherwise, like, I just kind of forget they exist. So it's like I only really hate them when they beat us.
It's so weird.
I don't take them seriously. That's really all it is. So if they beat us, I'm like, well, what the hell? You guys don't really exist to me because you don't even have a shirt sponsor still.
Yeah.
How is that hard? That's such a stupid thing to
Tim Howard for, what, two seasons?
Two or three. Oh, man. He got red carded here during one of the – oh, so good.
Yeah.
Right in front of 35, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you who was enjoying the game. In the first bit, I saw Nick Raimondo on the south goal, taking photos, saying what's up. I don't know if he took a photo with the trophy or not, but...
Well, let's just put it this way. 13 of the last 16 years, we've had the cup. Like, the rivalry is not heated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not.
It's not. So it's hard to put them at number one because, like, no one really cares.
Yeah. Did you know that him and people who traveled away, like, they would drive the cup there all the way to Colorado? I think fans still do it, right?
Yeah. We just aren't allowed to anymore because we broke it.
Yeah. They partied with the cup, like, drank beers out of it, broke
technically,
it.
Technically, the team broke it more than we did celebrating, but we helped break it more.
Yeah.
I think I remember seeing that they would get, like, buses and, like, caravan to Colorado and, like... celebrate the cup in front of Colorado.
Oh, but like also like it's a rivalry and it's our closest geographical rival, right? There were 14 Rapids fans there, right? Like tell me that rivalry is like alive and well.
Yeah, it's horrible. They need to do something about it. Cool. Anything else on the Real Salt Lake front, guys? Anything that you guys want to talk about? Do we want to preview anything?
Atlanta's a loss. There you go.
Maybe we can talk about Kansas. Kansas on
that's better be a win, but Sunday games are rough. I'm going to leave it there. But we're home, so it's got to be a win. Kansas City sucks, right? They suck. They're our rival, but they suck. But that means they're probably going to beat us.
They are bad this year.
They're bad, but like you can't discount them at all,
No.
Which worries me. But what I really want to get to,
mm-hmm.
I don't really want to talk soccer anymore. I want to talk about Andy and Crown Burger.
Oh, my God.
And the Crown Burger jersey I saw on Twitter.
Bro.
How hilarious would it be to have the jersey sponsor of Crown Burger?
It would be better than anything we've had. Life Vantage,
yeah, sure. No, 100%. Zango. But like, it kind of got me thinking, like, what other local companies would just be so ridiculous on there that you want to see it happen?
Yeah, tweet at us and let us know. If you can take like a photo of a jersey sponsor and, you know, manufacture it up and we think it's funny, we'll send you some RSL show stuff. Yeah, the whole Crown Burger thing, it stemmed off of, I went with Jeremiah Jensen, the sports anchor. We went to go get lunch one night or dinner, and I always order the double bacon cheeseburger there, or I get like a gyro plate.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say it?
Gyro?
Yeah, gyro?
Whatever.
And he ordered a Crown Burger, and I'm like, what is that? And he's like, you've never had a Crown Burger? I'm like, no. So obviously it's like the number one item. the store is named after, like, the Crown Burger. It's, like, the crown jewel of burgers in Salt Lake City, I guess. And I've been going to Crown Burger for years.
Dude, we go all the time after. We do, like, the breakfast shows and stuff.
I know, but I've never ordered a Crown Burger, and I still have yet to order one. I made a little video about it, and then KSL, my digital team, decided to, like, make an article about it. So I'm just getting a lot of crap for it now.
Well, to be fair, I've only had one once.
Yeah.
But I'm a ketchup and cheese only kind of guy, so it's not my deal. So
so boring, bro.
I am boring, but I'm right there with you, right? Like, I've had one at least, though.
Yeah. While we're on the topic of food, go check out Park Cafe. We love Sean Miller and Park Cafe.
I could use some French toast foolishness right now.
Yeah. We're gonna take you there, Alex. And by the way, we're also trying to get Isaac, you can come too, bro.
Okay.
We're gonna also try to do something special there with a big name player from Real Salt Lake. It's gonna be a whole production, sound, audio.
Or Trey,
sound
Trey, if you're listening, video. We need to chat about this one.
Yeah,
so if you could reach out.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking at the schedule now. I was hoping to obviously go get like practice content, but because obviously there's a game Wednesday, I think they traveled already. Yeah, they're already there. So, you know, we've been trying to hit more practices, more trainings to get that audio. If you guys are listening to that, hopefully that is something of value to you guys. But that's it. We just have Atlanta United. I don't know if we should preview this match.
It's away. It's in a big stadium. Potentially a rotated squad. It's on a Wednesday.
On turf,
right? Odds aren't in our favor, so like,
no, I could see
whatever.
I'll see Real Salt Lake pulling this one back. I mean, especially with the comments from our boy.
We do have that going for us. They're a team in turmoil, but again, like, you know, we usually play down to the level of our opponents, so we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully.
Although I'm gonna go Diego Luna plays a lot this game and scores like 3 goals.
That'd be great. That would be awesome, man. I was gonna say I loved what I saw from Diego Luna.
Yeah,
stockier build. But I love it. I mean, you're able to body people. You're able to create that separation space for you, get your shots off. But really, I mean, I don't think we saw a shot from Diego, but the opportunities and the just the moments he created in creating that space in the what? When did he get subbed on? 85th? 84th?
Well, way too late. Yeah.
Third.
Way too late.
Somewhere around there. Dude, instant impact, right? Instant, dude. And you could tell there's just something special about him, and I get excited when I watch him. I think he's gonna surprise a lot of us. So that's what I'm most excited about right now is Diego.
Yes, get in some minutes, please.
I think with the rotations, with going to Atlanta midweek and throwing out some rotations, I think this is the perfect opportunity to, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if start him, but definitely give him more than
7 minutes.
7 minutes to end the game.
Well, and again, like going back to Colorado, those substitutions were made way too late. Way too late. It felt very Freddie Juarez, and I was not happy about it.
Yeah. Well, guys, keep an eye out on social media, RSL show. Josh is about to drop a new T-shirt graphic.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
It's decent.
It's pretty dope.
Andy never says it's dope, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, as of late, I have. I don't know why. But we're going to do a pre-order. You'll hit up Josh for those orders, and we deliver shows. And also, yeah, dude, I ran into a fan wearing an RSL show shirt over at Sierra Trading Post, and I went literally right up to his face. I'm like, dude, your shirt's dope. And he just said thanks. Isaac, what do you think? You like the shirt?
I do like the shirt. It actually looks really good.
Yeah, hold it up again, Josh. I want to see it. Or Isaac, whatever. Let's take a look. Yeah, that's pretty sick, man. I like that. I love it. And I love when I love how people just hold on to those shirts. That shirt that I saw, we literally created that in what year, dude? 2017?
Was it the year before, year after?
Yeah.
No, that was, what, 2020 when Deloitte stuff happened?
Was that?
Yeah, it was 2020.
COVID year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right before?
Right when he furloughed everyone. That was the furlough fundraiser.
Oh, man.
But I saw someone in the original Sorry Bill shirt the other day.
Wow.
Yeah, buddy.
That is so cool. If you guys have those shirts,
post them.
Yeah, post them.
I
want to
see them.
Post them. We would love to see those. All right, guys. Yeah, thanks for listening to the RSL show on the KSL Sports Network. The RSL show is brought to you by One Wire Fiber. We still need to bill those guys. It's been over a year.
Yeah, we probably should. So Batch doesn't kill us.
Yeah, go and check out, again, go and check out Park Cafe, and that's it. Any last words from you, Alex?
I hope we can start playing a little bit better, get some more results, because this is the most – this is going to be one of the most important parts of the season, if not the most important, because teams under us aren't getting results either. But like, the only thing separating us and like eighth place is like 2-3 points.
Yeah, we really need to put our feet on the gas and get some separation.
So yeah, it's time to pick up some more points. One win, two draws, and a loss coming back from the international break is not ideal, especially with how tight and how close things are in the Western Conference. So we just need to start winning, start getting some points, and hopefully our form gets back to the way it was.
Yeah. You know what? We see this all the time, right? We do like a little bit of squad rotation. And when we do that, the, you know, second team people or whoever it might be end up surprising us. So I think Atlanta United's going to be a win for Real Salt Lake.
I hope so. I hope we see some Chris Caplan minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I hope...
This is exactly what's going to happen. Let me just tell you this. We're going to see players who don't usually get starting minutes start, beat Atlanta, and then we're going to be like hot and heavy on whoever like scored.
And be mad when they don't play against SKC.
Well, they might even play against SKC, and then we just get trashed. We're just going to get a last-minute goal by what's his name?
Eric on Holt? Atlanta.
No, on SKC. The dude.
Oh, Roger Espinoza, Graham Zusi.
No, the
Johnny
the,
Russell.
Yes, yeah. Johnny God. Russell. We'll just make it like 3-2 in the 92nd. So
I'd take him though.
Guys, what I'm saying is, when Sunday rolls around, just you know, just don't even stay home and watch that game. We're gonna lose it. Johnny Russell, 3-2.
It's at home.
Or at home, yeah. Still, don't come to the home match. Don't come to Rio Tinto.
And the sellout streak. Just stay home.
Yeah. All right, guys. Isaac, anything to add? Did you look like you had something to say?
No, nothing to add. I just hope that RSL picks up some points on the road. I hope it's a 1-0.
Very cool. All right, guys. Take it easy. Have a good night. Day.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.